It's your turn.
Good morning. My name is Bob Meinstein. I'm working for Intel Corporation. As mentioned, I'm also on the TCG Board of Directors, and both of those organizations, Intel and TCG, felt it was important to attend this conference. It's my pleasure to be here, although I guess the dates could have been picked slightly better. I don't understand why Germany doesn't respect Intel, or I'm sorry, America's 4th of July holiday, so I'll be on a plane tomorrow, but nonetheless. So my pleasure to be here today. Today I am going to talk about mostly from Intel's perspective, and when I switch hats and speak as a TCG representative, I will try to call that out clearly so everybody knows. But mostly I'm here today to speak as an Intel employee and to talk about Intel's plans for Trusted Computing Group technology, TPMs, and the bigger effort that Intel calls Safer Computing. We are doing additional things that are above and beyond the TCG-specified technology, ultimately working to build what we call a safer computing environment. Okay, so I really wanted to cover, I've only got a few slides here, and I'll try to leave plenty of time for Q&A. I wanted to cover five areas here. First, the environment as Intel sees it. You know, why are we doing this effort? Why are we off on a safer computing effort? I want to talk a little bit about the safer computing effort. What is it that Intel is trying to do? A little bit about TCG and TPMs. In fact, I'm going to skip, I think, the TCG slide. I think you've already seen similar information about three times across the last day and a half. And talk more about Legrand technology. This is some new Intel technology. It's out on the horizon, but it's part of the overall approach that we're trying to put together along with members of the TCG. And finally, I'll summarize these points. So the environment. What I'm trying to describe here is the motivations to pursue safer computing. In the past, there have been mostly nuisance attacks on your PC, my PC, corporate PCs. These have been fairly innocuous. Frankly, we've been very lucky. They could have been very disastrous. They could have deleted hard drives. They could do many worse things. I don't believe, some have said that the days of those viruses are over. I guess I don't believe that. And the main reason is that the value on the internet continues to increase. As we move more and more toward e-business and having valuable content, valuable information, valuable business transacted on the internet, the common phrase is threat follows value. Okay, there are going to be more attacks. They will get more sophisticated. Each attack builds on the other because of the nature of the way that that viruses are developed. Some of the recent notable attacks are the bugbear virus, slammer virus, credit card theft. You've all read about these and many more, I think, in the news. One of the really interesting ones, I think, is the bugbear that disables virus software. I think this is just the beginning, right? Not only does it disable virus software, but you know, there will be attempts to do identity theft or other theft of valuable information. The slammer virus, Intel spent probably tens of thousands of dollars to eliminate that from the Intel environment. It was very persistent, very hard to get rid of. Safer computing technology can, Safer computing technology can help to address those concerns. So bottom line here is the threat, because the value on the internet is increasing, the threat will continue to grow. Okay, and we feel it important to improve the security of the PC to address those concerns. All right, so what are we trying to do with safer computing? What's Intel's goals? Really, we want to protect private and business information. We want to protect e-business transactions. And we want to protect the online delivery of goods and service. These are the things that Intel is trying to protect. We are particularly trying to protect against software attacks. And in case that wasn't clear, both TCG and Intel shares this goal. We are not trying to protect against hardware attacks, inside the PC. Okay, if there are hardware attacks, or you know, if you have physical access to the hardware, there are attacks that can be successfully mounted, and information can be taken. Okay, but that's not the goal of this. If we wanted to prevent hardware attacks, and frankly, the comment has been made, we're protecting against the user. If we wanted to protect against the user and protect against physical attacks on the PC, we would have done something very different from a design perspective. We would have encrypted all the buses, encrypted all the memory, and probably stuck it in a sealed case that that you can't open with a regular screwdriver. So, 2 cents worth on that. Now, the challenge, however, was we did not just want to, slam a bunch of security or trustworthy capability into the PC. There were some very key things we wanted to preserve. Absolutely want to preserve user privacy, user choice, and user control. Ease of use, right? We can't have this thing become a nightmare to use. Want to keep it manageable. Very important. And finally, well, you know, Intel's in the business of performance. We want to continue to deliver performance, versatility, the openness of the PC that's made it great, backward compatibility. You know, Intel has been successful in the PC because it's open, because there's such a wide wealth of software and innovation on the PC. This is not something that we can sacrifice. Ultimately, we're here to protect the PC against software attacks. That's our design goal. All right, this slide tries to get across the point that security is not something you do once. Right? It's not something you stick a little something in the PC or any device and automatically it's secure. There is a roadmap here, and there are steps along the way, each step building on top of the security mechanisms and security value that is provided by the previous step. Today we have software-only security, absolutely serves a purpose. It will continue to exist in the future. Smart cards are available today, serve a very useful purpose for user authentication. Sorry, I keep hitting the touchpad. For user authentication, and it provides a portable means of key storage. Okay, and portability is important here for certain applications. TPM is just becoming available in platforms today. Manufacturers like HP and IBM are including them in their systems. And it serves a useful role. It provides primarily the role of platform authentication and fixed key storage, keys that are maintained in your PC. The next step in Intel's vision of safer computing is to provide some additional CPU and chipset enhancements. Okay, we call these Legrand technology. If anyone wants to know where Legrand came from, it happens to be a river city and a river in Oregon. And in the infinite wisdom of Intel lawyers, we decided we had to name all of our projects after geographical features because there are no copyright problems or trademark issues with geographical features. So that's the story there. So we call this technology Legrand technology. Often we abbreviate it LT, so I may say LT frequently here as well. And ultimately, this, in a sense, is intended to harden the software. We've done very good at hardening the pipes between systems, the communication pipes, but not so good at making sure what goes into the pipe isn't modified or making sure that what comes out of the pipe can't be manipulated. Okay, so Legrand, in some sense, hardens the software. And we know we're not complete. There's already some things we know that need to be done after the features that Intel would build into the chipset and CPU, and we call these future security technologies. There are some things that we know about. There are some things I'm sure we will learn as attacks become, you know, more sophisticated. Basically, though, this point has been made several times. This requires some security rooted in hardware. All right, this is the slide I think I will skip in the interest of time. It's a recap of things that that you saw from Dr. Weidner and Thomas Rostek of Infineon. So I'm going to skip right over this one. Okay, TPM. TPM is one element of the technology bundle that you might say is part of safer computing. TPM does provide security enhancements. In particular, it provides two major features that Intel in that stair-step diagram will build upon. It provides protected non-volatile storage. Okay, so protected storage was talked about earlier. And it provides some capability of processing secrets, dealing with RSA algorithms and signatures and a few other things. Provides the spoof-resistant platform authentication capability. This is important for the vision of safer computing in LeGrand. TPMs are available today from multiple vendors. The point was made earlier as well. Infineon, of course, is a local manufacturer of TPMs, a German manufacturer. National and Atmel are also delivering parts that can be purchased today, and there are other vendors that are actively interested in working on development. And again, from Intel's standpoint, this has immediate value in business particularly, and we believe that value will be recognized, and that's where we believe the first market penetration of these technologies will happen, is in the business environment. The URL for the Trusted Computing Group is down below, so feel free to visit the website. Some of these points have been made, but I want to remake them, stress them a little bit. The TPM, and you'll see later, LeGrand technology is operating system. Let me take TPM first. TPM specification is operating system neutral, and it is platform neutral. Okay, it can be used on multiple operating systems. It can be used by multiple CPUs, different manufacturer CPUs. LeGrand technology is operating system neutral, but it is Intel's technology. Competitors will have similar technology, but it will be somewhat different. It'll perhaps provide similar features. I don't know. TPMs do not monitor, enable, or disable platform functionality. This has been a common misperception. For those of you who are familiar with the technology of the PC, a TPM actually sits on the LPC bus. Technically, it is impossible for the TPM to seize control of the system, seize control of the CPU, and stop something from running. Okay, so I just want to dispel that that myth. A TPM does contain a rich set of user controls. One of the other criticisms was that this was an afterthought, the privacy features and user control features of a TPM. It absolutely was not. It was a design requirement very early on in the life of the organization. We can have a different discussion whether or not we've done a good job. We think we have. But it is not an afterthought. It was not something we bolted on. It was not something we didn't care about. The owner has to opt in to turn on the TPM. It requires what we have called physical presence. You know, there has to be somebody at the keyboard. It can't be done remotely without the knowledge of the person. Okay, so it's opt-in technology and requires the owner to opt in. Okay, the platform owner decides what software to run. This is still a personal computer. Right? This is the platform owner deciding what software to run. You can load what you want. If you don't like the software, you delete it. If you don't like the licensing terms and conditions or the product offering from the vendor, you don't run it, but it's your choice. TCG, it's been interesting to listen to the discussion. Early on, TCG was felt to be the certifying body for software, and we would decide what's good and bad. It was never the intent. And now it's interesting to see the turnaround, maybe that TCG should provide some certification of software. So I'm not sure what to do with that yet, interesting turnaround. TCG does intend to certify TPMs and, at some level, the platform features. We want to do this to make sure there's consistency of implementation and the features that we talk about, the benefits we talk about, can be consistently delivered, the values of those consistently delivered to end users. Okay, so that is a goal to provide perhaps a logo program, something that will ensure consistency of the hardware implementation. And I guess I've made some of these points about maintaining privacy, but the privacy model was designed to protect the user's privacy. To do the cryptographic functions and provide the benefits we talk about here, there does need to be an RSA key in the system. Okay, and we have built protections around that RSA key. The endorsement key is that key that we talked about, and its sole purpose in life is to get alias IDs. Okay, and it's those alias IDs that you will then use in a day-to-day transaction. Those alias IDs can be, you know, one, if that's what you want, or they can be many. If you are tired of using a particular alias ID, you delete it. Okay, so flexible. The requirements of the TPM and TCG do not require any personally identifiable information to be associated with the key. For certain business purposes, you may choose to do that, but no requirement out of TCG. Bottom line, it was a design requirement, not an afterthought. Okay, I'm about to shift gears now and start talking about Legrand technology. First thing we're trying to do is provide the secure platform foundation, the basis on which software can be better protected. And we have provided the following features: protected execution, okay, which is the ability for software to run untampered with. And we've provided for protected user input and output. Okay, so the ability for a user to enter information into the keyboard and the ability for the user to get data on the screen that you know hasn't been tampered with is part of the solution. Protected storage and attestation, these are primarily the features provided by the TPM in conjunction with the CPU and chipset enhancements. Intel is absolutely working to deploy this in a responsible manner. I'm here as a representative of Intel to tell you our plans. We are still a fair amount of time away from delivering these enhancements, and are continuing outreach in forums like this. We have visited the Internet Task Force of the Article 29 Committee, both as TCG and as Intel, and various other places. So this is part of what we're trying to do, over-communicate in some sense what our plans are, get feedback, and address concerns. We do expect to bring this product and this technology to market with the supporting ecosystem. There's quite a bit of work to do, and several of you in the room are part of the effort to bring this technology to fruition. Members of the TCG are also part of that effort. Again, ultimately enabling a safer computing environment. Okay, let me talk a little bit about what we're trying to deliver here. So this is sort of a non-technical person's view of what the technology can do. And one of the ways that we have tried to communicate this is the idea of a bank. Okay, and in the bank, there's this public area. And the public area has a lot of people milling around and, you know, able to look over your shoulder at how much money you're writing on your check. And, you know, it's a very useful part of the bank. Lots of good stuff happens there, but it is public, okay, and there are risks in that public area. To some extent, what we've tried to do is create this secure area inside your PC, call it the equivalent of a bank vault, okay, and we have provided the means for information to get into that area, software to get in for that into that area, and out of that area. There's, in some sense, a guard in that protected area to make sure that authorized people go in and out. Inside the protected area, inside the secure vault, there are safe deposit boxes for storing particular information, private information, secrets that you may want to keep protected. There are also these little areas inside the vault, and these are the curtained areas. You can take your safety deposit box, your secret, you can bring them into the curtained areas, and you can operate on those. You can add things to it, you can manipulate them, and you can store them back away into the safe deposit box. Okay, so this provides the ability for you to work in an uninterrupted, unseen way. Well, the metaphor kind of breaks off a little bit here and doesn't work completely. I haven't seen a bank vault with this particular feature yet. But the metaphor would be there's a one-way protected window inside the vault, right? And so you have the ability to hold up something, this information that you want to make sure isn't tampered with, and be able to make sure that gets viewed correctly to the outside world, in this case, the user. This diagram tries to put it a little bit more in technology terms, but it's the same picture, basically, a little bit more in technology terms. So on the left-hand side there, you've got the public area. You probably have already picked up on this, but we have an incredibly technical terminology for the open partition and the protected partition. The open partition is the left-hand side, because it's always drawn on the left, and the protected partition is the right-hand side, because it's always drawn on the right. The open partition is the public area. This is the PC you know and love today. Okay, it has all the wonderful benefits that you've enjoyed, and it has some of the weaknesses that we all suffer from. Okay, but that open area, that PC you enjoy today, is preserved in what we're trying to deliver. Okay, so all of the benefits and some of the foibles. On the protected partition, this is a new environment that we want to introduce, one in which new applications can take advantage of these new features and offer a higher level of assurance, a higher protection to the users. This is enabled by the chunk underneath, the LTE-enabled processor and chipset, delivering the three features I talked about earlier, the protected execution, protected memory management, and the protected output, the graphics. And the TPM plays a key role. The TPM is a separate device. It is not integrated into the Intel chipset. It's a separate device. And then the protected input is the keyboard, right? The ability to type something into the keyboard, make sure it's not tampered with. Okay, so that's the sort of mapping to the metaphor. This diagram tries to get even a little bit more specific about what changes are happening where and how the architecture of the PC will look in the future with LeGrand technology. So as you can see, there are a set of CPU and chipset enhancements. And off on the right, you see the TPM, separate device attached through the LPC bus. The CPU and chipset enhancements provide this extra memory protection. It provides this protected area in which new applications, protected applications, can run. And the protected graphics and the keyboard, this is the protected I.O., user I.O. Okay, so that's those are the elements there. The other thing I believe that's been pointed out several times here is smart cards can be a part of this system as well. In fact, we believe the technology is very complementary. The key benefit of a TPM, frankly, is it's attached to the platform. Okay, it can be there, and it can be a part of ensuring the integrity of the system. A TPM, unfortunately, is not portable. Okay, and there are needs for portability in some instances, and a smart card balances that need. TPMs are good at platform authentication, but not so good at user authentication. Smart cards, much better at user authentication, and contrary to the discussion yesterday, a smart card cannot do the function of a TPM. It is, at this point, technically impossible. Okay, and this basically brings me to my summary slide. Now, our goal has been and continues to be to increase security without compromising privacy. The uniqueness is necessary to deliver the features that we have described here, and that uniqueness is controlled by the TPM privacy model. We have taken specific design steps to protect that uniqueness, to protect users' privacy, and hopefully did a good job. And I'd like to hear more feedback on that. We intend to empower the user with choice. Clearly, it's an opt-in technology, and users can turn it on or leave it off. That's up to them. It is operating system and application independent. It can work with proprietary operating systems, such as NGSCB, a Microsoft product. It can also work with open source technology. Intel has made its business on building blocks, open building blocks that software can use in the way that they want. And we're absolutely committed to continuing that. And finally, it's, again, absolutely our intent not to take the personal, out of your personal computer. Right, this is still your personal computer, and we're preserving the backward compatibility. We're preserving that left-hand side, right, the ability to run whatever you want, anytime you want. Okay, yeah, that's about all my remarks. We have done our best to design and put this system together in a way that improves protection and retains user control of the technology. Thank you.
Ich sehe schon die ersten Wortmeldungen.
Herr Dr. Weiß. Oh, Entschuldigung.
Should I make English or can you use it sonst? Nicht. I'm a bit disappointed about your talk because at some points you have been on positions I thought we had a better point of the discussion yesterday. One example, you have on slide number 9 the statement that the TPM protocol cannot be used for identification, and we have yesterday the discussion that the endorsement key is a Unix endorsement key in the existing scheme there's a possibility to use this protocol for identification, and we had a discussion with the Trusted Computing Group that there might be a possibility to have an improved protocol which solved these problems, but it's still on the slide, and in the actual situation, this statement is definitely wrong. Also wrong, I think, is your statement regarding this smart card, because at the moment the trusted computing model is realized as a hardwired smart card, which is also in your presentation. But I have a technical interesting question, especially to your company. In a discussion in the data protection workshop yesterday, we agreed in one point that because the key are generated externally, or it's also possible to generate private key outside the trusted computing model, there is a need for certification of the whole process of key generation and building the hardware. And my question directly to Intel, will there be international, independent, reliable control of your process, bringing the secret keys in, and independent and international evaluation of your Lagrange technology regarding the private keys?
All right. Okay, so let's see if I got all your points correct. I think the one about smart cards was answered yesterday, that the functionality of a TPM and a smart card is very similar. Okay, but a TPM is not a smart card, and a smart card is not a TPM, and a smart card cannot do the role that was described here today. I guess we'll agree to disagree.
Disagree.
Key generation. Key generation, the unique key is part of a TPM, okay, and the key generation facility, the ability to generate those keys, the manufacturing mechanisms to generate and embed those keys in the TPM, it is part of a TPM manufacturer's job. It is not something that Intel does in its manufacturing line with its CPU and chipset. In fact, I don't know if I can impose on maybe Thomas Rostek here for a moment as a TPM manufacturer in the audience.
No, my question was regarding Intel. Your company, when you embed the functionality into the processor, will there be international controls for it?
Oh, when we embed it in the processor?
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, first off, I will never say Intel will never embed such functionality in the processor. Right? Intel... in some sense makes his business out of being able to make millions of new transistors and put new functionality in them. That said, Intel is in no rush to put this in the processor or the chipset, and the reasons are actually manyfold. One of them is we realize that there are a lot of social, business, political considerations around this technology, and we are just frankly not ready to go take a step to embed something like this in the processor.
Is this an official Intel position?
It is an Intel position. I'm not sure if I understand your question. I'm not trying to speak for AMD or any other company, but okay. So, but there are many technical challenges as well. Companies like Infineon have spent a lot on figuring out the manufacturing process and the technology for securing such devices. This is not particularly an Intel strength. Furthermore, there's pretty big impact on the manufacturing line. That's a challenge for Intel. And the final point is that this is a mixed process technology. It has flash in it and it has logic in it. You know, Intel can do that process, but unfortunately, when we do that, it takes us a generation or two back on speed. And at this point, we can't afford the generation or two back on speed. So, you know, bottom line is, you know, there may come a day, you know, when we address the process concerns, there may come a day when consumer and business acceptance understands the technology better, recognizes the value, and Intel may integrate, but no rush.
No rush. Okay, thank you.
The key manufacturer, and I just wanted to touch on that, the key manufacturer, whether it's external or generated internal to the TPM, there are good arguments for both. From an economic standpoint, it is a lot easier, a lot better to do it externally, and there are controls that manufacturers like Infineon have to put in place and evaluations that need to be done when you do that external manufacture. You know, whether or not you trust the bodies like BSI that may do such evaluations is a different question, but very tightly controlled, even if the key is manufactured outside the TPM and injected into it.
So, wir haben weitere Fragen, Herr Dr. Bechtold, dann danach hinten, dann Herr Professor Anderson. Herr Bechtold? Auf den weißen Knopf drücken, und wenn die Lampe leuchtet.
Sie müssen auf den weißen Knopf drücken, bitte.
Jetzt du.
All right, now it's working. You were talking about that background technology is protecting graphics and also the input-output between keyboard and mouse. And I just was wondering whether it has been decided what kind of standards or technology you're using in this field. I was wondering whether you will use existing standards such as, for example, the high bandwidth digital content protection, HDCP, or DTCP, and at least I think in the HDCP case, which protects the transmission between graphics adapter and the processor. I think Intel was involved with this, so I was just wondering whether there's been any decision made.
Okay, well, you may catch me a little off guard here. The content protection technologies are not particularly my forte. However, if I'm not mistaken, HDCP protects the link from the external output of your computer to the monitor. Okay, this would be in the realm of a physical attack on your system, okay, and is not something we're trying to protect against, so we don't rely on that technology to accomplish what we're doing. So was that the complete answer to your question, or was there? Yeah, okay.
Okay, die nächste Frage jetzt von Nathan.
You mentioned several times during your presentation that a spoof-resistant platform authentication capability is somehow important to security. I absolutely fail to see how that would be important to security. It's only important for DRM. And then furthermore, even if it somehow is important for security, I fail to see the benefit of having a pre-generated key to do that instead of a company-generated or user-generated. Even furthermore, I don't think pre-generated keys for platform authentication would scale very good inside a company. Could you maybe make this a little bit more clear where the security benefits are?
Okay, so first question was, refresh my mind on the first question here.
The first question is, how is spoof-resistant platform authentication is important for security? And not
right,
only
so,
for
DRM? So is platform authentication valuable? Platform authentication, we have talked with many IT customers who do find value in platform authentication, and it's for two reasons. One, there is an added level of assurance, particularly in remote access. Right? Now, not only does the IT department, whose job it is to protect the critical IT resources, not only do they have some assurance that it's the user that they expect to be accessing those resources, but they also know it's a platform issued by IT. Right? They know that that platform is the one being used, not somebody who happened to get Bob Mineshine's password and is remotely logging in and getting access to corporate data. Furthermore, I didn't go into this much in the discussion, but the integrity of the PC is something we are also trying to be able to identify. IT has certain policies, certain software they would like to be see be running on their system. And the ability to ensure that that's the software set that's running and is running correctly is considered a big value by IT as well. The example of the Slammer virus would have been a good example inside Intel. We spent, I don't know, weeks and, again, tens of thousands of dollars trying to eliminate that because we couldn't effectively go out and identify the configuration of the platform, find out which platforms were infected, and every time you connected an infected platform back up to the system, it reinfected many other systems that had been cleaned. So it was an incredible nightmare for Intel to deal with, and this technology could have helped. So there's two clear examples of the value proposition.
Where is then the benefit of having a pre-generated key that comes from the manufacturer instead of a company-generated key that, as I said, would scale even better? You don't have to store like maybe 100,000 certificates to verify that is the machine, but maybe just a thing. Just one flag that you used when you pre-generated it for your own corporation.
Yeah. We actually have active discussion on that. I guess the short answer is one could easily envision a IT-generated key. And within that corporation, it would probably work just fine. Okay, when you start doing business between corporations in a more dynamic environment of e-business where you may start to do business with companies that you've never done business before, the idea that a internal corporate key, generated key, can carry the same meaning to your potential business partner is more difficult, let's say. The least common denominator, the easiest way perhaps, is really to have the manufacturer generate the key, okay, and thereby assuring that the TPM was properly manufactured, properly put together, and can work in a variety of environments in that way. And, as I've said, we have put together the user controls and the privacy features in order to make sure that that key cannot be used inadvertently.
Yeah, even in B2B, I think it's much more important to authenticate.
Okay, wait a minute, please. Sorry.
Even in B2B, I think it's much more important.
Entschuldigung, wir haben eine gewisse Diskussion. Wir wollen den Dialog jetzt nicht irgendwie in die Länge ziehen. In Anbetracht der fortgeschrittenen Zeit hat jetzt Frau Saros Anderson und danach Herr Grasmuck noch Zeit für zwei kurze Fragen und dann bitte kurze Antworten auch.
There's another issue with putting security in the processor, even if you don't put key material in there just yet. And it's that the introduction of curtained memory means that the CPU becomes part of the trusted computing base in ways that I think weren't anticipated right at the start of TCPA. For example, if Intel were ordered to by the US government, you could put in a secret instruction which would allow the code that executed it to have access to the curtained memory. And this would, if you like, provide a backdoor into this whole edifice of trust that you are constructing. Now, at the software level, we can avoid this problem either by using fully open source software or perhaps entrusting in third party or open source evaluation of the Nexus. But we don't have comparable access to your processor. And your processors nowadays have so many transistors in them that it would be very, very hard to do an evaluation of them unless we had your entire tool chain. We've not been able to reverse an Intel processor since the 386. It's just too big. So how can you give us assurance that there will be no backdoors in the main processor itself?
Well, a similar question came up yesterday, and it's hard to argue against conspiracy theories and against, the absence of nothing. So how do I answer that question? Such a backdoor, I'm not sure how to answer that question. Such a backdoor is just not something that makes sense. you know, the existence of such a backdoor is as bad for American security as it is for European security. If it ever got out, you know, it would not only destroy Intel's business, it would, you know, it would be the perfect tool for many kinds of attacks and terrorism. So I don't know. Do you have a suggestion what you would ask Intel to do in such a case to prove there are no backdoors? I'm happy to entertain suggestions, but international evaluation?
Well, the sort of thing that you could do is allow relatively widespread evaluation of the processor by people who were not Intel employees but who were given under a light NDA access to your whole tool chain.
I think that would be quite possible, and that's a good suggestion.
Okay, Herr Grasmann, mit der letzten Frage jetzt. Hallo? Schon, Herr Grasmann, mit der letzten Frage.
Ich bin nicht Herr Grasmann, Herr Gehring. Okay, I have two short questions. Bob, at the beginning of your presentation, you mentioned hacktivism as a problem, and wants to help to solve the problem. But hacktivism actually is often taking place in order to protect freedom of speech, for example, to Chinese dissidents. And your government is promoting freedom of speech for Chinese dissidents. So don't you see a dilemma here? And my second question is, you described one problem from software introduced to the PC launching an attack. But that is exactly what a technical description for what lawful interception does. So how would you help lawful interception?
I'm sorry, ask your second question again. I didn't quite pick up a couple of words.
You described you want to protect the user from attacks that are launched by the software introduced to the PC. However, that is exactly a technical description of what lawful interception does. So,
okay, when I missed that. What does? I'm sorry, I'm just struggling with
lawful interception.
Interception.
Oh, legal.
Legal interception?
Yes, okay. Gotcha.
So how would you help the law enforcement agencies to enforce the law?
I'll play back your question and see if I got it. So this technology could be used to do illegal activities. How would we help governments monitor that communication?
That's right.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, well, this is almost the question Dr. Anderson, I think, asked here. You know, how do you provide the backdoor into the, you know, into the security system?
If you don't provide the backdoor, how would you help the law enforcement agencies to enforce the law? You say you won't provide a backdoor, so how do you solve this problem?
I'm still not sure if I understand the problem well enough, I guess, but okay, so let me try and answer. No, we don't intend to provide any backdoors, absolutely not. Government agencies that want to monitor such communication, you know, they have means to do so. You know, providing a means to get into the providing a means to get into that communication, I guess I'm not sure what Intel should do there or what. I'm sorry, I'm struggling with the question.
Oh, yes, that's what we also see, but it's not an answer.
Okay, vielleicht können wir die Frage ja nachher in dem technischen Workshop noch diskutieren. Wir müssen sie jetzt nicht weiter ausdehnen. Als nächstes kommt der nächste Referent, der Moderator sozusagen von gestern, der Professor König, Experte im Wettbewerbs- und Kartellrecht, glaube ich. Ja, ich brauche es nicht weiter anzukündigen, wir haben das gestern schon gemacht.